Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Big 12 Nation. Me and Levi are back for one final week of the Big 12 regular season. It was a very exciting week. A lot of games. Some games I thought would go the opposite way, and they didn't go that way, but then there were some games where I wasn't surprised. Some games people were nervous about. They didn't really know what was going on, but overall, it was what I thought it was. How are you doing this week, Levi?
I have to say I'm having a pretty good week. You know, finally have a small break in between right before finals is coming up. So definitely enjoyed that, and definitely catching up with my family for Thanksgiving.
Awesome. So we'll get right into it. We'll talk about your Longhorn. Devin Duvernay didn't let us down as he does in all season. He's been the most consistent. Sam Ellinger did what he wanted to do. But before we actually go into that, I forgot about this before we went live, Levi. Before we go into Friday's win, what did you think about the Baylor loss? I never got your opinion because we missed a week. You guys only scored 6 points that week. What did you think about that loss, and how are you feeling after that game?
After that loss, it definitely seemed like a flip script for that game, because I feel a lot of times for especially for our losses, it was always, you know, our defense couldn't stop them. And then for the Baylor game, it definitely felt like our defense was doing good enough to give our offense a chance to win and to actually win this game. Like, it wasn't great, like outstanding, stellar defense, but our defense was keeping us in the game. And then our offense just completely looked flat. I have no idea what was going on with that. It was just a complete turnaround for the offense, completely. It was hard to find any positives from that game from an offensive point of view. So, with that, so coming into this week, it was definitely I think every fan, every Texas fan was just waiting for that sense of a sense of improvement, especially on offense, to see how everything was going to go with that. And I think, and I'm sure after that game, there was a lot of negative reactions from how Texas played overall.
Oh, yeah, they definitely got some heat on the radio, but they got through the week. One more thing on the week we missed, I was surprised that West Virginia was able to go into Kansas State and beat Kansas State. That was a big win for West Virginia, but I saw glimpses of greatness from West Virginia this past year, because they almost beat Baylor on that Thursday night game, and they were so close on a lot of other games. So I think just with a new coach and inconsistency, West Virginia just couldn't get it done. But, you know, I will be looking out for them in the future. So that was really the only two things I wanted to touch on from the week before, was the Texas loss to Baylor, and then also the surprise win by West Virginia on the road. Other than that, I think West Virginia won yesterday too. So West Virginia has won two big games in a row. That took away TCU's bowl eligibility. So what a win by the Mountaineers yesterday too, actually.
Oh yeah, for sure. West Virginia definitely had flashes this season for their upcoming potential for the future season, especially getting two wins back to back.
Yeah, that was big. But let's jump into your Longhorns, and let's talk about Friday. Give me your overall thoughts on the win, because there was a lot of talk around town where people were actually nervous that they would lose. Never thought they would lose. I thought it'd be close maybe in the first quarter, and I knew Texas would eventually blow them out by 3 touchdowns or more. Last game, senior day, you know, you got Devin Duvernay. You got some great defensive players still. But overall, what are your thoughts on the win Friday?
For my thoughts on the win Friday, I think overall it was definitely a much needed win, especially how we won, just because I would say probably the past several seasons, you know, Texas last few seasons, Texas always had a reputation of any games that we should win, we always make it really close, or we get upsetted. But the fact that we were able to win 49-24 was really good for Texas. I think the offense played really well, with Emminger having two passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown. It was a little scary in the very, very beginning, kind of going down 14-0 in the first quarter was a little nerve-wracking, because it's kind of hard to trust us trying to do a rally from come behind, but we were able to do it. And, you know, Emminger had a great game. He threw for over 300 yards. And Duvernay had a stellar game with 199 yards receiving. And I think the defense played really well. And I would say this is definitely a positive game, especially for the seniors, for senior night. And, you know, they can finish their careers at DTR with a win. So I think it was definitely a game that was very much needed it was definitely a win needed for the seniors and definitely for the fan base, for UT fans. So overall, I was very happy with the game and how they played.
Yeah, and I think it's important for you guys to say, okay, we're more than just bowl eligible, because just being bowl eligible is not that big of a deal, but having more than one win over bowl eligible, having more than, you know, having a better than 500 record, you know, in the actual conference, you know, it leaves you in the top 10. It doesn't leave you in the bottom. So it shows that you're competitive. And, you know, sadly, a lot of the games you lost, you could have won. I mean, because look at Oklahoma State. That's a game you guys won earlier in the year. Or Oklahoma State finished with way more wins. You know, that's what's crazy. So it shows you guys definitely have potential. I definitely see Ellinger coming back, though, because that was one of the worries after the LSU game, was would you guys get Sam Ellinger back. But I definitely think he'll be coming back for his senior year because of the way this year ended, and then he didn't get injured or anything. So I think he'll be back, and I think having him back, Keontae Ingram back, hopefully you guys can stop Brennan Eagles from transferring. And if he doesn't transfer, that'll be big, great news for you guys. So it's all up in the air, man. It could be a very good year. We'll go over these other school scores, and then I'll talk about the stuff the media's been saying about Texas lately. But right now we're going to jump to Baylor over Kansas. I really thought that Kansas' last game at home, Levi, I thought they would fight. I thought they would play hard. I thought they'd be competitive. But Baylor literally just walked in there, and, you know, excuse my language, they just walked in there and kicked their ass. Like, you know, we're going to the Big 12 championship game. We're not even going to let Kansas compete. I mean, it was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter, and it was like 50-something to 6 in the third quarter. And they ended up just demolishing them 61-6. So I don't know if that was Kansas just not caring anymore, Levi, or if it was just like, whatever, I'm good.
I think for that game for Baylor, with that 61-6, I think it was definitely a Baylor wanted to come in and have a statement game. I mean, don't get me wrong, it is, you know, Kansas. But I think after, especially with being embarrassed, losing that big lead to Oklahoma, I definitely feel like they wanted to come in and, like, we wanted to have a very big statement game against Kansas. And I think they wanted to definitely go into the Big 12 championship with a high note and make sure, like, everything's running in all cylinders. And I think they definitely did that against Kansas.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a great point, because, I mean, there's no joke in there. Like, they really went in there and they made a point, you know. And I wouldn't be surprised next weekend, Levi, if Baylor wins that game in Dallas. Like, I wouldn't be surprised at all. My only thing is, will they actually give them a shot? Because Alabama's lost twice. A couple other teams have lost. And I wonder if Baylor would have actually won that game if they would have been in the top four, or if they win this game, if they'll get in the top four. I think they deserve it, but we'll see what happens. But if they can go in and they can beat Oklahoma this time soundly, I hope that they get in there. I think no matter what, though, at this point, they'll be in a New Year's Six Bowl, so they'll probably be playing against, you know, an SEC team or an ACC team. They'll be playing a big opponent no matter what game they're playing now. But if they can win this Big 12 championship game, I think they legitimately have a shot on getting into the playoffs. So we'll see.
Yeah, I definitely think they if they beat Oklahoma, they definitely have a chance to get into the playoffs. And, you know, they're definitely going to get into a big bowl for sure. And if they don't end up making the top four, you know, if they end up playing against a really, you know, one of the better SEC teams, I think if that ends up happening and they end up winning that game, they would definitely go into next season with high expectations. And I think kind of showing the whole nation, like, you know, don't forget about Baylor. We're here. They're having a great season. But I definitely do think they have a chance if they beat Oklahoma, and I think if they beat them, probably a good margin, it would definitely help.
Yeah, I definitely think next season is up for them because Jalen Hurts is done. I mean, all the other quarterbacks are okay. I think the only competition they would have would be you guys, and that's because Sam Ellinger's coming back. But outside of that, I think they would probably have the best quarterback in the Big 12. Come next year, because Brewer still has eligibility left, so that will definitely be interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, I would say, I would definitely see so that Baylor would definitely come to next season with one of the better top quarterbacks coming into the season for next year.
Exactly. So that's something to look forward to. I mean, the kid in Oklahoma State's pretty good, but I mean, as far as the best, it would be Sam Ellinger, and I think it would be Brewer. Purdy's okay at Iowa State. I think he still has some growing to do. You know, Kansas State QB's okay, but I definitely think the two best QBs coming back next year would be these two guys. So let's go to Iowa State versus Kansas State. Now, this is the game I don't know. It was tied 14-14 at half, and I didn't know how it would end up going because Iowa State's so tough on the road, but at the same time, I'm sure Kansas State wanted to win for their seniors. Both teams bowl eligible, both teams middle of the pack, Big 12 teams, and they'll go to pretty good bowl games. Both coaches have done a great job this year, but I really didn't know where this game would go. So I was surprised when Kansas State won by as much as 10, but that shows you what Kansas State can do. You know, Kansas State plays good at home. They beat Oklahoma at home. They beat Iowa State at home. They also lost at home to a West Virginia team, which I think they were definitely overlooking, which, as me and you have talked about before, is the Achilles heel of the Big 12. Anybody can win in this league, just like Texas Tech won on the road at West Virginia. And then West Virginia goes on the road and wins two games in a row. And then there you go, TCU beats Texas, but in Texas – beats Kansas State. It's like the Big 12 all in one. It's like you don't know what's going to happen. But that was a pretty good game, but I was definitely surprised that Kansas State won by 10 points.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely very surprised how the way it ended up, especially how it was going with the first half and being so close. But, you know, kind of similar to what you said, Kansas State is definitely a tough out, especially at home. And I think, you know, I think especially when you're at home and, you know, it's the last game for the seniors, I think everybody, I don't know if everybody just plays a little bit harder or they really have something extra to play for. But as it always seems like it's out when you're at home and you have your senior night, you know, everybody just plays better. And I think they were glad to get that win.
Yeah, very impressive. The other game that I liked was Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. I don't know if you caught any of it last night. It was on Fox, but it was 10-7 at the end of the first quarter. And then it was about, I think it was 20-13 at halftime. It was competitive. You never know at this game because I remember a couple years back, Oklahoma was undefeated and Oklahoma State had to win to get bowl eligible. And then Oklahoma State won, finished 6-6, went to a bowl game, and it derailed. This is when the BCS, I think, was still going on. It derailed Oklahoma from a BCS bowl and ended up sending them to just a regular New Year's Day bowl. But Oklahoma did get the win, 34-16. Impressive. Wasn't a blowout. You know, a lot of people thought it would be a blowout, but I knew it wouldn't be a blowout because it never is. Oklahoma State plays their hardest versus Oklahoma. whether it's at Oklahoma or at home. So this game was something, you know, I didn't surprise. You know, Hurts was 13 of 16, 163 yards with one touchdown. He had also had 61 rushing yards with one touchdown. Lamb only had two rushes, but Lamb also had four catches for 36 yards. Wasn't it his most impressive? And, you know, Hurts had also one receiving touchdown in this. I don't know if Hurts will get the Heisman, but I'm sure he'll be invited for the Heisman again. I think it'll be the second time in his career. But it was a solid win. They beat him. I was impressed. Chuba Hubbard, as usual, had over 100 yards rushing with a touchdown. So pretty competitive game, but Oklahoma got the win 34-16. And now I think me and you can sit back and get excited for this Big 12 title game.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely very excited. I think with the Oklahoma and OK State game, you know, definitely a big rivalry, you know, who's kind of the winner of that, you know, the state of Oklahoma. And I think Oklahoma State kind of, I think their focus on that with that game was kind of stopping Jalen Hurts. So I think that's kind of how Oklahoma kind of got into his running game. Like the running back Kenny Brooks rushed for 160 yards that game. So, and he was running through very very big holes with the offensive line before, like about 4, 5, 6 yards before he would even get touched. So Oklahoma was definitely controlling the line of scrimmage, and obviously a majority of the time when you're winning the line of scrimmage, you're more than likely going to win the game.
Yeah, very, very impressive, very good game, but it was awesome. And then let's get to our last one here. Let's talk about West Virginia and TCU. Everybody was talking on the Big 12 Nation page, Levi, about, oh, this is easy. TCU is at home. It's their last day, and this should be no problem. They want to get bowl eligible. They'll win. And then reality sets in, and you realize it's the Big 12, and you never know what's going to happen. And West Virginia said, nope. TCU, you're going to finish with the exact same record as us, 5-7, and we both will be staying home for the bowl season. And they won on the road. I mean, it was 10-10 at halftime, and then it was over. I mean, I think the biggest difference in this game, Levi, is that the West Virginia quarterback threw for two touchdowns, but he also threw three interceptions. However, Dugan, the young TCU quarterback, he threw two interceptions with no touchdowns. I think that's the factor right here. Both of the rushing yards weren't that great. I don't think they had anybody who had – I mean, West Virginia didn't have any rushing touchdowns, and then the rushing touchdowns that TCU had, they weren't for that long, and it wasn't from their top rusher. So I think the biggest thing was both quarterbacks threw interceptions. However, you know, one through two TDs, one through zero TDs. And I think that is literally the story of this game because it was a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I would definitely say that both quarterbacks definitely did not have a great game. I know they both did not pass the 200-yard mark for passing, which is kind of, I would say, pretty common nowadays, with especially for spread offenses.
Right, especially in the Big 12.
Especially in the Big 12, yes. But, yeah, I think it was just a low overall, I think, for both offenses. It was just both a low-scoring offensive game, especially with total yards for both of them. And, you know, I guess West Virginia just didn't really want to get TCU to get bowl eligible. So it's set at 5-7.
Yeah, I mean that was their chance, man. They should have definitely seized the moment. I think also they were sleeping on West Virginia too. They thought maybe West Virginia wouldn't care as much because West Virginia knew no matter what they couldn't get bowl eligible. And West Virginia pretty much said, you know, no, we're coming in here to win. We want to finish on a big note, you know, and that's big to win on the road. It kind of reminds me of the Big Ten yesterday. Like Illinois has had a great run. they got bowl eligible, and then it's like they played Northwestern yesterday, and they just were like, whatever, they were sluggish. It was just a piss-poor effort by Illinois. They should have easily beat Northwestern to get their first 7-win season in a while, but they just were like, whatever, I'm just giving a piss-poor effort. And Northwestern came in with a serious chance of wanting to win, and they won. Same thing with, I think, happened here with TCU and West Virginia. I think TCU just gave out a piss-poor effort, man. I mean, there's no way TCU could score that many points, Levi, on Texas, mm-hmm. and then turn around and only give up this many points to West Virginia. I think it literally was, we got this, was going to be a walk in the park, and then it became the end of the third quarter, and they panicked and they lost.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think, you know, I can definitely see a possibility with TCU coming to the game big-headed, kind of just overlooking West Virginia. And, you know, when most of the time when you come into those type of mentality wins games, you know, that's when, you know, it's really going to hit you right in the beginning, that first quarter, how you're going to play.
Yeah. I mean, TCU beats Texas Tech on the road. Texas Tech goes on the road, beats West Virginia. So they're all kind of in the same circle, you know, and I even picked Texas Tech to beat. If you remember a couple of weeks back, I even picked Texas Tech to beat TCU, and then TCU won on the road. So I just don't understand how you put up that big of a fight against Texas at home, you know, and then lose to West Virginia at home. But, I mean, it's like I said, it's the Big 12, and, you know, nothing shocks me in this conference, man. It just doesn't. Nothing shocks me anymore. But congrats to West Virginia. They finished 5-7. They got a bright future ahead. TCU, a disappointing season after beating Texas. Now they will not be going to a bowl game, but I wonder if once they beat Texas, they were satisfied because, you know, if you beat Texas or Oklahoma, for the most part in this conference, people are usually pretty happy. So,
yeah,
I wonder. Exactly. So I wonder if that's what happened because, I mean, Kansas State lost to West Virginia at home. I wonder if they were just like, yeah, well, we beat Oklahoma. We're kind of happy right now with where we are, and they had to switch it up. So with that being said, let's talk about Tom Herman. I've been hearing a lot of talk on radio in local Austin, Levi, people saying it's going to be a shakeup on the coaching staff and whatnot, and this is his dream job and next year. And my opinion is all these radio pundits and all these media people need to just chill out for one. Because, number one, you got to remember that 3 years before Tom Herman got here, Charlie Strong was 6-7, 5-7, 5-7. There was no bowl wins at all, and then there was 2 years they didn't go to a bowl game at all. Since Tom Herman's been here, they have won 2 consecutive bowl games, last year with a 10-win season, and this year have a chance to have an 8-win year with a nice bowl win. So you have to take it into consideration the 3 years before that. And at the beginning of the year, Levi, I honestly said – I could see Texas being 8-9-3 or 8-4 because you're still going to have those slip-ups. I knew Texas would be good, but I didn't know, you know, what would happen because there's always one good slip-up. And I think eventually Herman will get them there, but I just don't think they're all the way there yet. You kind of got to get in that rhythm like you guys had when you had Vince Young and Colt McCoy. You kind of got to have 2 strings of great quarterbacks before you can get back to where Texas is supposed to be at. But I think all the people saying the shakeup on the coaching staff and all that, I personally will laugh if Tom Herman doesn't make any changes because I think people just need to chill out and let this thing play out and see where it goes next year. And I think if next year Texas gets 9 or 10 wins, I think they're where they're supposed to be at. And I think within the next 4 or 5 years, Herman should definitely get you guys in a playoff.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree. You know, I'm overall, you know, I do like Tom Herman a lot, especially how Texas was doing when he came in. Definitely been a lot of talk, with coaching changes. If there are any coaching changes, maybe, you know, it could be a possibility. I don't think it'd be, if there is, I don't think it'd be anything super, like a major position, like, as far as head coach, I don't think anything would be for the offensive coordinators, but I could definitely see maybe position coach in certain areas. But, you know, overall, I would still like overall for this staff to stay together, to keep growing, And, you know, with definitely Tom Herman being here already several years, he's already definitely getting to the point to where, you know, he's finally getting his own players from recruiting and the players that he wants to fit his system. And, you know, I think the only reason, besides being disappointed for this season, I think one of the reasons why there's so many talks about him right now is because we came into this season with so much high expectations, beating, you know, Georgia last year in a bowl game. And, you know, I remember that after that game, you know, with the whole celebration and everything with Sam Ellinger saying Texas is back. So I'm sure with him saying that, might have gotten Tom Herman a little worried about that. And, like, overall was a disappointing season, but, you know, things happen to happen, you know, injuries and other stuff like that. But overall, I would love to keep Tom Herman here and just keep the staff moving forward, because I do believe he can take us where every Texas fan wants Texas to be, and that would have made the playoff every year. And I think Tom Herman is the man to do that.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. I mean, you know, Sam Ellinger saying Texas is back, you know that the media is going to run with that and blow it out of proportion, and, you know, just because they always need something to talk about. But it's like you said, the more the staff's together, the more continuity, the better. Because I'm looking at some of these things around the country, like Florida State was quick to get Willie Taggart. That didn't last long. Arkansas fired Brett Bielema, who was a pretty good coach. Chad Morris didn't last long. So it's kind of like it's a 50-50, you know, turnover, Levi. Like, and I would say majority of the time, 70% of the time, when they just want to fire somebody real quick, usually the next coach doesn't do that well, and then they're right back to firing and hiring. Look at Nebraska. They fired Bo Pelini, and then they hired the one guy, O'Reilly, and then now they're still haven't went to a bowl game in 3 years. So it's like I think people need to realize there is no quick fix. If you're going to hire a guy, you need to give him 4 to 5 years to do what he needs to do. And then if he does do what Tom Herman does and he's actually winning and it's better than the previous tenure coach, then you don't have to be satisfied, but you have to say, okay, I can go with that because I know that each year we have a chance to do something great versus just firing a staff and doing all these other moves, and it just makes the situation more of a headache. And then in the long run, it turns out to not be so good.
Yeah, there's definitely as far as the aroma for college football, it's definitely, you know, so many people from the athletic director to really, you know, really big boosters for universities is, you know, they want results now. And with football, especially being a team game, knowing your system in and out, having to use most times, you know, having a couple of years with people's offense or defense to get used to it, you know, you got to have that consistency. You got to have that continuity to grow and to get better. And you definitely need those 4 or 5 years to really see how is this coach doing, how well is he doing it from the previous coach. And do you believe within those 4 or 5 years, you know, when if you're going to extend them, do you believe those 6, 7, 8 years he's going to make another jump? Because everybody wants
exactly.
to make a jump.
Exactly, because, you know, with basketball, you can get one guard and one big man, and you're fine. You get one or two players in basketball that can change around. But like you said, with football, it's different. It's offense. It's defense. It's special teams. It's the ultimate team game. Hell, if you got a great kicker, a kicker can win you games in football. You know what I mean? You have an offense that can get you to the 20-yard line, and then you have a kicker that can do stuff for you. And make a kick for you on 10 drives, that's 30 points a game right there. So, like you said, it's an ultimate team sport, and you can't, like you said, do all these big shakeups all the time because it doesn't help at all. It in the long run, it turns the program backwards, and it's just you're just going to be recycling, and we see that with a lot of programs around the country where they're just recycling coaches because they want to be something that they were. Texas isn't far from where they were. Just let the process play out.
Yeah, they definitely should let the process play out, just let everything play out. And, you know, going back to the really flipped turnover for universities, you know, that's why a lot of universities end up still paying coaches for that send up paying coaches, you know, millions of dollars that they haven't been on their staff for 3 or 4 years, because sometimes they give them contracts or guaranteed money, and then, you know, they're basically paying that coach to not coach for them and just not be on their team, just because the way coaches and the university do their contracts, it's always when they want to fire them, they fire them out, but they still got to pay out their contract. And like, if you're going to pay them anyway, might as well just finish out the whole contract and see how it goes, see how it goes from there. So there's so much cutting in the middle of contracts for coaches for college.
Exactly, and that's wasting a lot of money. And I know that football brings in a lot of money, and it donates a lot of money towards the school. But at the end of the day, like you said, you made a perfect point. Like, you're just firing coaches to pay a bunch of money for no reason, like you said, when you might as well just finish it out. If you sign up for something, you sign up for something. Because, yeah, you're paying – I mean, Charlie Strong, I believe, is still getting paid by the University of Texas to some extent.
Yes, I believe that is correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, you when you fire these people, like you said perfectly, like we're just wasting a lot of money and a lot of time. And this time around, I can see Charlie Strong because there was no bowl wins, but this time around, Texas is having winning seasons. They're winning games. So there's no point in doing that. You just have to trust in the process. Tom Herman's who you picked, you know, at this point he's had 3 years where they've gotten to 3 bowl games. I say definitely give him 3 more years after this to see where it goes. If there are 3 losing seasons, that's one thing. But I don't see Tom Herman the way the type of coach he is. It definitely won't be 3 losing seasons on the 40 acres. It'll be 3 seasons of wins. Some may be great, some may be not. But I see consistent winning, you know, on the 40 acres from here on out. So I just, like you said, I just hope they really start thinking about this, because this wasting money and recycling money, it just, like you said, it just becomes a revolving door of just foolishness, and then you still end up like Nebraska. You still end up like Florida State. You still end up like so many of these programs around the country that keep thinking that they're better than they are. Like, I heard people complaining about Michigan the other day, and they're saying Jim Harbaugh. I'm like, look, you guys remember how bad you were with Brady Hoke, and now Jim Harbaugh is actually winning games, and he actually, I think, beat Ohio State one time, but they got a bad call, and they gave Ohio State the ball, and Ohio State ended up winning that. But, you know, some of these people, they're not realistic, Levi. And I just hope and here's a, you know, big shout-out to Del Conte, your athletic director. He said yesterday after when he said, overall, I'm satisfied with the direction of the football program, which is exactly what he should have said, because overall the direction is better than the previous administration. So, you know, that's all I got, man. You got anything else before we get out of here?
I mean, I think we're pretty good, and, you know, just kind of, I just hope Tom Herman stays for the next several years, and, you know, I just hope, you know, Texas is slowly, I think we're heading the right direction, and I think eventually, you know, I think Texas is eventually going to make the jump to where, you know, we're going to have a full season to where we're always going to be at least top 15 ranked throughout the whole season, or top 10. And, you know, eventually be competitive every year or to get a playoff spot. I think we'll get
exactly. There. Exactly. Well, guys, that was Big 12 Nation for this year. We'll see. Maybe not. Me and Levi do a show if he's not too busy with exams to talk about the bowl games they're going to, but that'd be it. But for the most part, that's Big 12 Nation for the season. It was a fun season. Levi, thank you for joining you, and I can't wait to see where everybody goes for the bowl games.
Yep, me too. And it was great doing this.
All right, man. Good luck with everything. I'll be in contact with you. Thank you, everybody. Check us out on the Facebook page at Big 12 Nation. Have a good one.